Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning or afternoon, everyone, depending on where you are. Good morning or afternoon, perhaps it's evening, where some of our listeners or callers are. But in any case, welcome to the show. So glad you're here today on this Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day to everybody. We've got some callers in the queue, and today we're going to be discussing past lives and their impact on an individual's current life and how each of us have to deal with past life content in our current incarnation. But today, first, I think we're going to take callers. We're going to go out of order. Sometimes we do this. So we're going to take our callers in the queue. We do want to invite our callers and our listeners to join us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Blog Talk Radio. There are two sites, Neil Baker Psychic and Neil and Kristen Baker. Please follow us there or send a friend request or hit that like button. Very easy to do. It's a great way to show your support. This is a service that we offer our listeners, and since we're here helping, we love to have your support. So also call in number 914-338-0164. And the number to call after the show is over 562-596-7818. But let's take some callers first, and then we'll discuss our today's topic after we take some calls. Okay, so 808 is first, and then we have 780. So that's the order. 808, hello.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Sarah.
Sarah, hi, Sarah. Sarah, is that Sarah, is there an H in that Sarah or no H?
It is, yeah, S-A-R-A-H.
Welcome. I don't think we've spoken with you before. Or maybe we have.
No.
Maybe it's been a while. I don't remember.
No, we haven't.
Usually I remember people, but and you're calling from 808. Is that Hawaii?
Yes, but I'm not there right now, New Jersey.
Oh, okay. Are you from? Do you live there now?
In New Jersey now.
Oh, you're in New Jersey. Okay, so we just
like
to get people's location. Okay, Sarah. Sarah, what's your birth date?
I'm 4/20/81.
All right. 4/20/81. 6/16 and 9. She's 25/7. And what brings you to our show today?
I was curious about insight into work right now.
I'm sorry?
I was curious about insight into work right now.
Okay. Are you working currently?
Yeah, I'm currently working, and I've been looking to switch over to a type of women's coaching.
But, Sarah, we can't hear you, by the way. Your voice is very faint. I don't know if you're on a headset, but if you could talk right into the phone or maybe get off your headset.
Oh, yes. Can you hear me now?
That's better. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm curious about work. I'm looking to switch over to a type of women's coaching, but in the meantime, I'm thinking I want something else while I'm building that up so I don't have to put the pressure there.
Okay.
And I'm curious about working for this one herbal nutrition company and wondering what you see with that.
An herbal nutrition company, and you're 35 years old?
Yes.
Wow, so it's 7 times 5 is 35, right? So that's, she's in her fifth cycle of her master number 7. You're 25 equals 7, so your karmic number is 25, and your master number is 2007. In 2006, what happened in 2006 when you were 25?
Nothing I can't recall that specific year. Like the years all blend together.
They all blend together. Okay, well, perhaps something will come to you. Neil, what do you think about her job situation?
Well, you're Sarah, you're a lifetime woman's coach. So that's your part of your job, but you want to supplement that with some form of immediate income, which I'm hearing is perhaps more immediately involved in the nutritional herbal company working there.
I was thinking of it. Yeah, I'm just not quite sure what's right for me right now.
Well, let me see, because you're. First of all, let me ask you, do you have at least an associate degree in college, or did you go for 2 to 3 years to college, at least that long?
I didn't, no.
Okay, so part of the journey that you're on, it's funny, Sarah, because some of the attitude that you're going through in this lifetime is being conflicted by the fact that, let's just say on a deeper program, you were supposed to go to college. Now, we don't know why that didn't happen. There might be several reasons you could think in your mind, but let's assume that that was the path you were supposed to go on. But hold your horses for a minute, because it doesn't mean anything wrong is going to happen. It just means we're looking at something so we can realign you to the proper energy of where you are now.
Right.
Did you ever have a desire to go to school beyond high school?
I did. I went to, but these weren't my desires. I went to a couple different nutrition schools and I went to massage school, but I did have a desire to go to college and study performing arts and creative writing.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's great. I mean, it's great that you had the desire, at least. You didn't fulfill it, but you had the desire. Were you wanting to get involved in some form of playwriting or screenplay writing or
novel? I think more being in it, more acting. Like, I like writing for other reasons, but then there was also, I like different kinds of performance, like acting.
Yeah. So, you know, you're
so
the
I went
first...
to these. Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
So I did end up going to different kinds of trade schools, but, you know, more in the nutrition and massage world, but it's not my desire.
Yeah. You see, because you're a person that your body is very important in the expression of your creativity. It just can't be a solitary mind thing. A solitary mind activity would be like a writer sitting at a desk and writing. You're an expression of the body. So, you know, the life coaching and the herbal stuff and the diet and the whole thing involves the body. So what we are talking about is how you probably had a conflict between the mental aspects of your past lives and the physical aspects of your past lives, which I know you went to trade schools, but ultimately there was something in the energy field of your life, Sarah, that disrupted the physicality of going to university, the physicality of going into that mental process. You might have felt too stagnant. There might have been something that you would have felt too restrictive. So you decided to go a different route. And you went to trade schools, which has really a more active, if you will, a more active quality of life to it. Trade schools is more involved in the immediacy of occupation than in the mental journey of earning a degree. So you went to
trade school.
You see what I'm saying? So you went to trade schools. So what we're really doing is listen, this is very symbolic. You're trading your karma in for something else. Now, what happened was probably before you came down here, they were looking at Sarah and they go, okay, Sarah, you're going to go down to the earth and you're going to have this big mental thing to do, and you're going to go to university and blah, blah, blah. And by the time you got down here, in the deep part of your mind, you went, you know what, I want to trade my karma in. I don't want to go that route. I know I have desire. I know I have interest, but I really don't want to go through it all. I want more immediacy. So what I want to do is I want to trade my karma in for a different kind of journey. And in doing that, what happened was you sort of disrupted the time scale. So even if the factors that govern us are saying, okay, Sarah, you want changing your mind while you get down there. You have that prerogative, but it's going to alter time scale. So we, you know, Kristen asked you, what did you do at 25 when your karmic resolution was up? You're going, well, you know, every year bleeds into another. I don't know. Maybe we could find it if we investigated deep enough, Sarah, but we don't have time for that. What we do have time is to say to you that you've altered the time scale. Now, here's the good news. Here's the good news. You're 35. Now, you may say, you know, I'm 35. That's getting a little bit up there, and I'm struggling with deciding my vocation. And I'm saying to you, and we are saying to you, that at 35, it's not a panic, because your master number is 7. And what? 7 times 5
is 35.
So you've gone through 5 cycles of your master number, and guess what? 5 is a physical number. 5 represents, for females, 5 represents active participation, physicality, strength, the ability to maneuver in, as a female psyche in a male psyche-dominated world, if you will. Now, you're going into the element of women's consciousness, nutritional herbal. You know, a lot of this is
female. Well, I'm good at being a therapist, too. Like some... So I guess I went that route to have some way in as a therapist since I never went to
therapist.
School.
But that requires, and am I understanding that she doesn't have a degree? You went to trade school. What kind of trade schools did you go to?
I went to health coaching. It was a health coaching slash life coaching school, massage school, and a nutrition school. And I mean, what I really like though is performing arts and being a therapist. So they're very different, you know.
Here's what I would say to people who are in this kind of dilemma. Build a new road. You could actually be in the theater arts of nutritional education. You can combine theater arts as a body energy in the form of how you participate in the world of massage, nutrition. So you can combine your two interests and make a new kind of school of thought, if you will, as you engage the two zones together, theater arts and nutrition.
Right, because she could counsel people on a level of nutrition or health or wellness without being licensed, per se, as a therapist, like a psychologist.
You can. Or you can do... Well,
that's
you can
where
involve.
I've been so stuck, though. Like, that's what I've been trying to do is merge creativity, like using creativity as a means to heal the body, but it's just been so stuck,
you know,
trying
you
to
know,
create that.
Real quickly, that what you're dealing with is a deeper discussion of changing energy from karma to transcendence. So you're involved in a transformation within your own being. Now, that is something we can accommodate
on
the
radio
show. We're discovering that that's part of your drama, your own personal drama, to engage in the role-playing of nutrition, the role playing of women health and awareness. And so, and that could involve therapy, but that's a whole different dilemma.
Yeah. And we do have other callers, Sarah. So we have to move on, but you're welcome to call the show again, or you can call 562-596-7818 to talk further about this, because it definitely, there's some investigation. She has interesting number system too, because actually, Sarah, in the last life you were on the planet, you were a 24. Is that right? No, 24 is the next.
No,
or the last life. Yeah, that's what am I doing? So the last time you were incarnated, you were a 24 equals 6, and that code is actually reflected in on the karmic side of your birth date, inverted, the month and day, 24. So that's, you know, the reason you are back here is reflected right on that karmic side of your birthday.
Yeah, which
Cardin relationship.
Which incidentally is the confusion you have in your sixth chakra, your visionary chakra, in terms of assimilating and getting together your act, your own act in this life.
Trying to get a vision for what actualized.
But, you know, you because you're born in 81, 8 is a transcendent number. You're right now in that zone as we speak. So you're in the area of trying to activate your transcendence. And so
because of
her
35.
It's because of the 8.
Right, and she is 35, so that is an 8 too.
That's right.
Okay. Sarah, thank you so much for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, 780 is our next. Hello.
Hey, Kristen. Hey, Neil. How's it going?
Oh, this is Jay.
Yes, it is. I haven't talked to you for a while. How's it going?
No, how's it going? Good. What's your birthday again, Jay?
Sure,
I know
March
24th.
Pretty
March 24th.
March
1964.
Mm-hmm.
And you...
And
our 24th. It's funny, our last former caller, you were listening probably. She was born on 4/2, and you are month and day 4/2, but you're 24. So
no, she's a March 24th.
Yeah.
1964.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he's a 29/11 too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but his day 24 matches our former caller's month and day 42. So people group together sometimes. Jay, tribal connection. So, what's going on?
For myself, it's finished a 7-month yoga intensive, and now I'm doing improv, and now I'm exploring myself out there for sure. So, my question is that basically, I'm just putting myself out there right now. It really feels different, actually. As a new person.
Oh, and so you're talking about improvisational, like, theater?
Yeah, theater, I'm doing that. I didn't have done
that
before.
That's exactly what she was talking about. It's funny. So do you have a specific question?
Sure. Met some people, met this nice lady, too, and just, I just feel, well, where is this new me going to? It just feels really awesome, but also scary at the same time.
And you're 42 years old? 52. 52.
Yeah.
52.
Well,
and
it's her. Yeah,
inverted 25 of our last caller.
You should get together with Sarah.
Yeah.
Do yoga, massage, and improv. Because of your rhyme for the day.
Yeah.
Jay. You have to look at your life right now and determine your position. I think for you have to determine your position in relationship to your age. I don't usually predicate a reading on age. I sort of not even look. The age is important, but I don't really advocate, well, you're too old for this or you're too young for that or whatever. To me, age is just a state of mind. It has a certain measurement to it, and we define certain aspects of the earth according to that measurement of age. But age is still a state of mind. Now, what you have to do is put into your profession of it right now, your quest for improv, into the state of your mind. Where is the state of your mind in improv? How can someone at 52 be an instrumental part and an effective part of improv? Of course, improv is an open theater. You don't have to be any age for improv. You can be 90 and be hilarious. You don't, there's no age. It's the presence of your energy. So what you have to do is start to constitute and direct the code of your energy into the field of your desire. So you have to direct the code of your energy into the field of your desire. And the code of your energy is a sort of reflective energy insofar that you have a 4 in your day and a 6 in your year. And then you have a 6 in your year and a 4 in your year. So there's a certain element of that energy. Aside from that, you have a 3 and a 2, which is the expression chakra of the throat, communication. So your ability to communicate your improvisational skills in relation to the mindset of where you are, also connected to the age of who you are, so you present the best possible role location in terms of improv and age is your best bet. Now, if you're asking, well, is there any higher plan for me? Is there a place for me? Is it in my karma or my, if you will, destiny to get into that area of life? The answer to me, yes. Yes. You have too many reflective things going on. The other one I didn't mention was you have 3 and 4 as your first and third numbers and 3 and 4 as your first and last numbers. And so you go, well, with all this reflective stuff going on, improv is reflection. It's immediate, spontaneous, organic reflection. You're reflecting on counteracting or interacting with what you are involved with, whether it's another person or whether it is a situation involved in improv. In improv, you're also, the improvisational attitude is that you improv objects. They're not really there. You're dealing with an energy of spontaneity. So that's creativity. Now, that creative aspect is in your sixth chakra. So what improvisational actors and actresses must do is they work without a script. They work with the script of their own energy. And that's what's exciting about it, most immediate, is that you're working with the script of your own being. Now, that being gets us into mind, body, and soul. And so you take all those things together, and the deeper you are in terms of mind, body, and soul, and you do yoga, the more that you can now apply yoga and the breath of yoga to the breath of your improvisational skills. And with that, you just take that into a mind direction of transcendence, or asserting yourself into the role of an improvisational actor that is effectively employed, and you've got your zone going. And at 52, yeah, no problem. So according to the cosmic mindset, you're ripe to go. You're ready to be picked. You know, from there, maybe you have to analyze it. But are you ready? Yes. Because you're continuously renewing yourself throughout life. And that's what improvisational theater does. It's not but according to a fixed script. It's a renewable script. Second by second, if you get my gist here.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know. The philosophical, mystical, astral route to answer your question has been established. Practically speaking, we'd have to go further into the attitude of where you're going, who you're applying a job for, that kind of thing. Which is more time-consuming and, you know, in its total analysis, really.
Yeah. Yes, it's a great time for myself, for expansion, yes. And you're right about what you're talking about. Yeah.
So how much study have you done real quickly in improv? How much experience?
Well, I'm just doing level one, and I'm planning to go forward with it to the different levels of it, and character development and everything else.
This is not a career, should we say?
No, it's not a career, but it's just
for self-enhancements, right?
Well, totally, because it's just going out of the box, like Neil was saying. So it's just like, yeah, here I am, and okay, now what? Spontaneously, instead of like thinking over analyzing it. So,
well,
yeah, it's going to be a great
you. You have a very gravelly voice. So your voice, the gravel in your voice, you'd be a good improvisational judge, being funny in terms of the verdicts you give. Start to utilize the quality of your voice in terms of improv. You have a voice, very bureaucratic, gravelly. This is the way it is. I mean, you know, start to range your voice into mimicking other people, highlighting what is real into what is absurd. That's what improvisational is. You go, it's the theater of the absurd. It's to make you laugh. It's also to scare you. It's all kinds of things. So if I were you and listening to the energy of your voice, I would use that as a first stepping stone to creating a range of character that you could call your own, even in an improvisational continuous state of mind.
Good idea.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, Jay. Thanks for getting in touch.
Yeah, thanks for talking to you again. So thanks so much, Neil, for the great message. And Kristen, thanks so much for everything again, too.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, 404 is our next caller. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Nancy.
How do you spell your name?
N-A-N-C-I-A.
Okay, that's what I thought, but you never know. Names can be tricky. That's a unique name. I don't hear that.
I know Henry Mancidia, but I don't know Henry.
Not funny. Not funny. She probably doesn't even know what you're talking about. Henry Mancini?
Henry Mancini.
Henry Mancini. It's just not even. Well, we will not be doing improvisational comedy. Actually, you're quite funny.
How about I
We're
just, met a, girl
we have
met,
little,
just met a girl relax. Named Mancini.
It's not good.
No.
Okay, Nancy, we're not going to waste any more of your time here. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
All right, and your birth date, please.
December 20th, 1986.
December 20th, 1986. Okay, we're going to do some calculation here. While we're doing that, can you let us know what you're calling for?
Just an outlook of my career, whatever you see.
Career. All right. Everybody's in a career mood today. Career. What do you do right now?
I'm working at a hospital as a technician, but I'm in school wanting to transition into the HR field. I'll graduate.
And you're 29 years old right now?
Yeah.
And so you're am I adding that up right? She's a 29/11 too, right? Yeah. So right now it's interesting. People are going through changes today on this show. Our first caller was in her fifth cycle of seven, and you yourself are at your karmic age of 29. So changes right now in your life. You're turning 30 in December, so you've been going through this.
Turning 30
in December. So she's right. So she turns 30 in December. So she's been experiencing this since December of last year when you turned 29.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're go ahead.
Were you going to say something?
No, go ahead.
What were you going to say?
I was just going to say that she's a master number two.
Yeah.
That's all. And that her life goes in cycles of not only two, but 11.
Well, you know, this brings up an interesting. We were going to be talking about past lives and how they affect our lives in this lifetime. And when you talk about past lives, you're talking about duality. So in the duality sense of the word, you're one of those examples. Hospital technician, which is really kind of impersonal. I mean, when you look at it, it's kind of impersonal.
Hospital technician, what are you doing? What kind of technician?
Exactly? I work with the nurses, just underneath the nurses as their assistants.
So like you do, what kind of tasks do you do?
Yeah, I do phlebotomy. I work with babies now mainly, just assisting the nurses, not really in the nursing level of skill, but assist them. And I've always felt this wanting going into the medical field. But like a couple years ago, business started getting my attention. So I went to school to attempt to go that route. And it's just been very difficult transitioning into it, I guess, wanting to get out of what I'm doing now.
Yeah, because what you're doing now is purely karmic. It's just a karmic element you're in, Mancia. Mancia?
Mancia. N.
Yeah.
Oh, N. Now he's discovering why his joke was not funny at all.
I thought it was Mancia.
Man, that's why you made the joke about Mancini. I didn't know that. I was just thinking.
Yeah. You see, that's why I said Mancia. I thought it was M. It's an N.
And like Nancy with an A.
So you're like Nancy, the comic book, the comic character, Nancy. Okay, so anyways, aside from that.
Or Nurse Nancy.
Yeah.
Nurse Nancy. I mean, she's in the
There's
hospital.
There's a nurse Betty too. But how long have you been a hospital technician for anywhere up to or beyond 3 to 4 years?
Yes, 10 years.
Ten years.
Yes.
Well, so
10 years.
See, you were 19.
I thought I was going to follow through with doing nursing, but I'm just not in love with it as I was at the beginning. And
10 years.
I know it's a lesson that I was going through, but I'm over it now, I feel like, and I just want this transition.
Okay, so let me tell you, you're over it and you want to transition because it was karma. And you're changing your karma. So at the time that you've been doing it 11 years,
11
at that
years.
11-year point, because your master number
say.
Is a 29, 11, 2. At that 11-year point, as Kristen pointed out, your life goes in increments of 2, but it's based upon 11 and 29. So at that 11-year point at which you have been a
hospital technician,
you should transition into the HR field, that's human resources.
So another year, essentially, beyond that.
About.
Yeah, I figured. When she said 10 years, I thought she's got another year to go.
About that. With a 9-month
window.
You're talking about babies with about a 9-month window.
Which I hear in the background. Did she take a baby from the hospital? Is that her?
So the element of, and you're going into a more intimate quality, a deeper quality of energy, and you're moving pretty much upward in scale in terms of your role. So you don't want to be beneath. You want to be more above the energy field. And that's equatable to your 86 in your year. The 8 and the 6 are above the or higher chakra deal, you're dealing with, Nancia. So the attitude here is that probably, December, March, I could see a change coming in March of 2017. Now, I don't know if you can calculate anything that might be in agreement with that, but that's what I'm seeing between March, April.
Okay.
March, April of next year.
Of next year, that not too long to go, but I don't know what your question is. I mean, you have a desire or a drive.
She's kind
to
of wondering if she wanted insight on the career, but is there something specific?
I'm sorry, you said either what?
Is there something specific you wanted to know pertaining to that? I mean,
I think what it was is, I just felt like it was a setback every time I attempt to change into this career path. And I just could not understand why it's been so difficult. Because I have my associates already. I'm going for my bachelor's. And it's just like where I'm working now, I just want to change.
You're your associates and you're going for your master's?
No, I'm going for my bachelor's.
Bachelor's. I was going to say, that's a jump. Well, you know, you're expressing that it's been difficult. But the reason and see why is that you're in this window of karma, essentially. You're in a karmic position, as was explained earlier, and you're in a 10-year, you're right now at year 10 of being in this position. So at the 11-year mark, which is part of your karmic code, there's going to be a change. That's why it's been difficult for you to get out of it, because you're just dealing with karma. You're dealing with karma.
Okay.
So,
I just needed
Yeah, and you know what? We just got an email last night from a caller who said Neil had expressed on the show the woman was frustrated about not getting a job, and he says, listen, I see you getting the job. And in fact, she just got a call, and this was like a week ago. So I think it was a shorter projection for her job transition than it is for Nuncio. But you know, the predictions do come true here, for sure.
Okay. Okay. Believe it. I just wanted to understand. Now I do. It's just karma, I guess. That's why it's been so difficult. So I understand now.
Yeah. And you're at the tail end, and it can be worked with. Yeah. It can be, you know, karma can be changed. Karma can be, you know, you can shorten your karmic term. Of course, you can lengthen it. But, I mean, she's right there at the point of a transition.
Well,
she keeps on a good path.
You got to remember too, Nancy, that the journey of your karma is going from a zero in your code to an eight. So that zero sort of represents the leap you have to make and the difficulties you have to make. It's a stepward, upward climb of eight steps leading to a higher transcendent energy. And you're doing this with karma more or less involved, which probably results in possibly divorce, somewhere dissension in the family. There could be divorce in your past or in your parents, or some sort of dissension of family dynamics in your past. Has there been anything like that?
No. Mm-mm.
Are you married?
I'm married now, yes. I've never been married before. It's my first marriage. My parents are still together. They've been together 30-something years. So no.
At what age did you get married?
I got married at the age of 26.
26.
And how many children do you have?
I have one child. She's 17 months, and I have a stepson who is 10 years old.
Interesting. That stepson.
That's the divorce.
That's
the
where
divorce.
It's coming from.
For your partner. Whether he
yeah,
was married. He may not have been married, but it's a
yeah,
breakup of a relationship.
Yeah, he wasn't married, but his relationship with her, I know we've all three had past lives together because she has some anger issues towards me a lot. And I don't know what the underlining, and I've always felt like my stepson was supposed to be mine from another life. I don't know why I've got that. I had that feeling ever since I first saw a picture of him. So,
well, that's nice that you have a positive attitude towards your stepson, because a lot of times people have difficulties with stepchildren. But what I was going to say is the divorce, it was coming through as a divorce or a separation, and there's more karma involved because of the child that your partner produced with that woman. So that's why
right.
It's coming in. And the two, you know, I was going to mention the two, her master number two is next to a zero. So that could be also why this journey through this nursing field is difficult, because actualizing yourself on the level you're supposed to actualize yourself, you know, you've got a zero sitting right next to your master number. So that can present challenges.
You know, I wouldn't worry about it too much, Nancy. That the attitude of getting through your karma and working your energy out can be a struggle, but I wouldn't worry about it too much. It's part of life, and it's part of the way you grow and learn and improve and transcend. So don't dramatize
right.
it. It's not a big
no.
deal. I predict you'll be in the HR field. You're going to get what you want. Your numbers indicate success.
Okay.
Yeah, 8 and 6 are great numbers. So she's moving into that code
yeah.
now. And keep in touch with us, Nastia. You can follow us here on Blog Talk Radio or join us on Facebook and call our show again or call for a private reading. Either way.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
By 262, would you like to speak with us? I know who it is. I don't know if she wants to talk or she's just listening today. She's not pressing 1, so we've got some time to... Oh, she does want to talk to us. All right, it's Amy.
I was just going to listen, but since you called me
well,
out, I thought, okay, all right.
Why not? Hey, how's it going?
It's okay. I guess my prominent situation is yesterday, I kind of went off on my ex-husband, and
oh boy.
I felt upset and embarrassed and whatever, but then kind of at the end of the day, I brought myself back to center and was like, wait, I used my voice and that feels good. So I tried to kind of resolve it by evening and just say, that's been a long time coming, and that'll teach me to not stuff it and find ways to communicate. So I don't really know why that had to happen, because I said a lot of stuff in a short period of time, and I felt like I was very articulate. I mean, you know, but obviously he doesn't care. So I don't really know if that was useful, not useful, if it created more karma. I don't even know what to think about it.
Well, I mean, whether you created more karma by being assertive to an ex-husband is not necessarily, you know, you may not have created more karma. I mean, we don't know the content of the conversation, but.
Sure.
One of my greatest pleasures of the marital discord in terms of being literate is Edward Albee's drama of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. great literate conversation between a bickering couple. It doesn't get better. But, you know, we're not there. You're not Virginia Woolf or is ever out writing the script. You're Amy. So, you know,
Amy.
I don't know. I mean, the way that we bridle our tongue can be both in the form of being fair, or we can be quite biting, as Cyrano de Bergerac was quite biting in having a tongue that he bridled towards the direction of insult, but with flair. So I don't know. I mean, sometimes I think that a good sharp dialogue between a couple is entertaining. There's nothing wrong with that.
And it can be productive.
Bickering.
It can be productive.
That's part of life, is to highlight it with a higher intelligence. Neil Simon will tell you that.
I find that when people talk, when I tell people, you know, I had a negative interaction with my ex-husband or my ex-husband did this, people call him my husband. And like you just said, a couple. Is this just because the energy of the relationship still isn't resolved, or
because
we're not married?
Well, couple. You know, the attitude that you have a connection with this person and you're going through a dynamic of energy is also, I think, in one part of our reading, we talked about game plan and making it fun, and that to eliminate anxiety. And so your journey, you're actually a team in some respects. Whenever you're grouped with anybody, it's teamwork. I mean, teamwork can be as small as you going into a checkout stand, giving the cashier your items, and she registers on the cash register for you. It's teamwork. You give it to her, she registers. Teamwork is, we have to look at the interaction between human beings and really define it deeply on its multi-levels. So that's not to say that what you're going through with this human being is not something that is not pertinent to the attitude of your well-being, even if it is difficult. He may be placed here so you can get some anger out and transfer it. Maybe that was a karmic situation between the two of you in a past life. But I think that the two of you have shared a past life, and I think that the universe gave you this stage to work it out on a verbal level. Now, that's mixed with emotion, but it's not mixed with violence. This isn't a violent confrontation. It's a verbally controversial interaction. Am I right?
I mean, there's verbal violence, but it's...
Yeah, but not physical violence. Does he hit you? Does he threaten you? Does he choke you?
No.
Yeah. We're not dealing, you know, with the aspect of that kind of physicality. Verbal violence is what we talked about before. You know, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, in a way that's true, in a way it isn't. The verbal energy, and we have to understand that words have definitions, so words can hurt. There is no question that words can't hurt us, but they won't break our bones. In other words, they make us stronger. There's something about the mental capacity of our usage of the language that is meant to make us stronger, because what it does is it affects our mind. It doesn't hurt our bones, but it affects our mind. And that mind has to be directed in such a way that it can handle stress, handle anxiety, handle confrontation without turning itself into something that is toxic.
Of course, we're talking about non-abusive language. I mean, having a conflict and having raised voices is not, you know, being obscene with somebody. And
the mind,
you know,
the mind is supposed to be able to absorb controversy. The mind is able to absorb confrontation. Your brain is supposed to be able to use that, take it in, and redirect it in such a way, almost like recycle it in such a way that it comes out positive. So that's going to be some of the journey that you have to express. And if you went after him and had a verbal confrontation, there might be just reward in that, to the extent that he's given you verbal abuse. But, you know, tit for tat, you know, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, word for word. That's not the ultimate destiny. The ultimate destiny is transformation. Transformation of thought to a divine sense of action that elevates your life in such a way that you are living in a transcendent form of being and not in a karmic. So sometimes the way to get there, you have to take, you know, you want to get to the top, climb the stairs.
Okay.
Does that help?
I don't know.
Well, what's going on in your mind? Where's your hesitance coming from? What needs to be clarified here?
I don't know if anything, maybe I just need to think about it. I think the word injustice comes to my mind, and I know that that's a low vibration attitude, but, you know, I've gone through 4 years post-split with him where he has taken a primary role on all holidays, and I felt bullied on it. And this year he said, he came and said, okay, on the holiday, you know, the schedule says this, so this is what we'll do, right? And I just looked at him and said, after all these years, I just get the schedule? I mean, I got kind of pissy because I said, you know, I was like, we have like 4 years of makeup to do where I wasn't a priority at all. You just cut me out of the holiday.
So you're saying that he's presenting a schedule to you where he's making the decision about where your children are going to be on the holidays without
coming together as a team.
The way
it's written out is how he's finally adhering to it after 4 years of not adhering to it.
Oh, I see. So it's like a court mandated schedule, and now he's cooperating whereas he has not done so previously.
Right. And he just kind of acted like, oh, well, of course I'm doing this. You know, I mean, it just blows my mind because all of a sudden I'm supposed to be like, he expected gratitude or something. And I just started him like, no, I'm not going to jump up and down because you're finally coming to the table appropriately.
I see what you're saying. Well, I mean, that's kind of, you know, at least he's, I mean, no, you're not required to jump up and down, but at least things are changing. I mean, that's a positive change that he's cooperating with
right.
What's been ordered, you know. You're not required to praise him for it, but.
Right. But I think that's what he expected. That was the interesting dynamic that I guess I didn't understand.
Who cares what he expected? I mean, you're not connected to him anymore except through your children, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. And maybe I'm just holding on to some hurt from that or something because I guess I don't understand how, you know, we have a daughter and, you know, he likes to state that he, you know, is liberal or whatever, you know, honors women because he has a mother and a daughter. Always leaves me out, leaves his daughter's mother out, and I guess I don't know how that works.
Amy, here's where your best place is, and that is to better understand the anger of your past betrayal. What you went through is past, but the better part of you of your understanding is to grasp that journey. To accept it for what it is, not to, as you said, venture back without letting go. Let go of it and understand that life is a transition. So to better understand the anger of yesterday's betrayal is to accept the transformation of today's changes. So you have to understand that, you know, if you really want to go back and analyze every sense of betrayal throughout your life or every sense of negativity, you can find yourself turning into a pillar of salt by looking back. You have to look forward. Look forward, put your eyes forward, remember that you are who you are in spite of what you've gone through. You've remained strong, resilient, and if you want to carry that anger with you, well, then you're carrying the past with you too. And live with the baggage, or you let go of the baggage, You swallow, you take a deep breath, and you say, I'm looking forward. And don't let his words, his obnoxious denial of the past, obscure your sense of the vision of the future. Because if you allow his past words to minimize what he's gone through and make him look like a hero today, if you allow that to be without getting angry at it, really what you're doing is you're confusing your own future. So what? That's what he thinks. You're holding the anger. We understand that. But I don't know if that's healthy.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I can relate to being irritated or angry at people from in my past. I mean, sure, totally, totally sympathetic to your situation. But the problem is, Neil always tells me this, is, you know, that people, the average person doesn't know how to deal with negative energy. And until you know how to deal with it, if you don't deal with it correctly, I mean, you can have aggravation, frustration with people, but if it's not processed in the right way, then it is detrimental and it pulls you back into karma. You don't want to be pulled back into the karma with your husband. You're divorced from him now.
Yeah, but we still have young children.
You have children, but even more reason to move forward and not be pulled back into the past. So, I mean, you can hold that anger in some form, but to let it weigh you down in the way that it is not going to work.
You see, the complicated, convoluted matter of having children is that the karma is more dense.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to remember now, you have children. You're responsible for bringing to those children a clear attitude of health. So right now, set an example. Transform yourself. Allow your children to experience through you the ability to activate a higher form of consciousness. So even if you have children and there are immediate domestic dramas going on, which makes your journey all the more complex and difficult, remember that there's a higher path to this. And that is to transcend the immediate domestic drama, to deal with it the best you can, but to always instill in your children a sense of good health, optimism, transformation, change, and just pure transcendence. That's what's important. That's what you have to instill not only in yourself, but your children, without minimizing the rudeness of your domestic journey.
So what's the best way to do that? Just keep releasing it?
Releasing and finding within yourself your inner strength.
Right, and a sense of objectivity in the situation she's dealing with. You know,
objectivity.
You know your husband, ex-husband is, you know, someone you're going to be triggered by. And,
mm-hmm.
and obviously you're not married to him. There's a reason why. So you have to accept that there are going to be things that in the interaction that are going to irritate you, that are going to trigger you, but moving beyond it.
You know, letting go, you think it doesn't, it should not take any strength, but yet sometimes it's the hardest thing we can do is to let go, but we don't consider that it doesn't take any strength to do that. It takes strength to pick up. Aside from letting go, if you're going to let go, what the weight is your resentment. So you have to let go of resentment. You have to let go of that kind of attitude of anger. So you have to manage that. Anger management. People who can't let go cause all kinds of crimes. Road rage is not letting go. Let it go.
That's definitely one thing I learned through the relationship is to walk away. That's what it's in lights in my mind when a situation or a person triggers me. If I have something to say, I have something to say, but then I stop and walk away if I'm still inflamed, if I still feel like, you know, like it's still brewing or on fire or whatever, just walking away because, you know, eventually it simmers down and I see it.
Right, and expecting him to change or to not be a different person than he is just unrealistic. it's unrealistic, and you know.
Well, I mean, I guess the biggest thing is, you know, the holidays are coming up again, and he planted the seeds to destroy all of my relationships with my relatives. So either he's, you know, the biggest blessing that I have in this lifetime because I needed to release those people, or it's inappropriate. You know, and I, on some level, I feel there's some quite inappropriateness there. There should be the option of the relationship, not a, you know, a negatively seeded false impression of me that's causing the divide between me and my relatives.
Well, right, so, but they, you know.
You know, you can have a talk with your relatives and tell them and share with them why you feel vulnerable and why you feel out of place with his maneuvers, and let them feel compassion for you and understanding. You can do that. I don't know if that will work, but that's one attempt.
Or you just move on past people that are going to, you know, believe your ex-husband over you that are your relatives. I mean, that's karma too, having people in your own family turn against you, but it happens. It happens.
That's what it is. Yeah, they turn against me. So I feel like if I tried to have a conversation with them, it becomes gossip.
Yeah, well, maybe it's not worth having those relationships. I mean, family is family, but you know, if they're toxic to your well-being and your transcendent progress, then get rid of them too. I mean, that can be painful, but it's often necessary. You know, so it's just kind of that, you know, what you've got to evaluate what's going to be most effective for you, you know, talking to them or not. But you know, moving on is the healthiest. But you know, Amy, we got to wrap up because we're actually over. But I do want to ask you: did you reschedule your acupuncture test?
Yes, I did. It's scheduled later this month. As soon as I pass, I'll let you guys know.
What's the date? Just so we have it on.
It's on the schedule for 11/21.
11/21. All right. 2, 3, 4, 5. That's a 5. And 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 5, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, that the 11/21 matches are 12/29, 5 numerically. So we will put out great energy for you and keep in touch, okay?
All right, thank you.
Okay, hopefully that helped. And we are back on the air on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. And hopefully we'll be able to, we'll probably start the show normally with our topic and then take callers. But today
we
tried
to get
reversed it.
We tried to get some of it in.
Well, we did a little bit.
Maybe we snuck it in.
Okay. Well, have a great weekend, everybody. Bye.